The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 29th of October. That means it's Culture Fridays. That means we're celebrating Halloween today on Friday, the 29th of October. If you see me today, you'll see my costume. I wear in my old woman curmudgeon costume. If you see me, hail me in the road and say, hey, Mom. Don't give him too much trouble. That's what my costume is today. Thank you for joining me, Erin Green, on the clock. And it's Halloween. That means we're talking ghost stories and other folk tales. Today I have some stories, some old, some old, and some not so old. And we have some music. But most of all, I want to hear your ghost stories. So call in or text us your spookiest local ghost stories. My guest today is a local poet, amateur historian, and social media blogger, Cecil C.A. Newry. And we talking ghost story following. Also, I want to send out a note. I noticed that I didn't see any announcement of Halloween events for children. How easy it is to create a drive-through Halloween event. Right? And how I know? Because the politicians have been able to create all manner of drive-through events, and they were deemed successful. So we could even have, well, I mean, it would have taken some planning, but we could even have had a drive-through haunted house if we had really put the effort into it. Anyway, I just saying, for the sake of the children, and I mean me, I am the children, tell us where the free Halloween events are, where the Halloween candy is, where the drive-through events are going to be held this year. We could do it for the children and me. We could do it for the children and me. Before I bring in my guest, Mr. C.A. Newry, I want to tell y'all about a ghost story. So yesterday on the way to work, as I was coming down Nassau Street, approaching Meeting Street, I looked up and I saw this boy I know. I really like him. Mr. Marlon Inca Johnson. He's been a guest on my show multiple times. And I look up and I see him on his scooter, because you know this is a man he just rode. And when I look again, I watch this car run the stop sign out of Meeting Street to turn north and almost run straight into my boy. I say, okay, I almost peep ghosts. Is that what the saying means? Y'all old people don't tell us these things no more, you know. Anyway, so this morning, on the way to work, preparing for the show, thinking of all the ghost stories I know and little spooky tidbits and culture and history, and I sitting at the light at Duke Street waiting for the light to turn green so I could turn on the Cumberland. And the light turns green, and then a dump truck and a bus come flying from Blue Hill Road over Cumberland, right? And I pause, exhale all the oxygen I had in my body one time, because I was getting ready to tell my friend, get off this light, let's go, breakfast waiting. I was glad that we paused. And we paused. And then out of the blue, 5 seconds after the dump truck come over the hill, a sedan comes flying behind them. 5 seconds after. This morning, I swear, I saw my own ghost on the road. Now, mind you, other than that, the road is empty. No police presence. No cameras, no nothing. Nobody watching, nothing. But me watching us almost die in the road. Now, it's plenty ghost story. When you open your eyes to it, it's plenty ghost story out there. So then, I said, boy, I pick up my Guardian this morning. And on the front of the Guardian is two of the spookiest, scariest stories I have ever seen. The first says, VAT to be added to exempt medicines. Well, I did holler because that is quite frightening. And then I looked to the bottom of the fold. I saw a story that said, alleged victims of police brutality charged with assaulting police. That too is a scary, scary story. I thought, wow, for real? And then I opened up the Tribune. About 85 parts to it today. And on the main page, the headline, on the hook for officers' attacks. They said, on the hook for officer attacks. Committee looking at ways to stop government liability for brutality. I think, in fact, this is the scariest story I have seen all morning. So you already paying your boy. I mean, minimal wage. Not minimum. I didn't say minimum. Minimal wage. So when it's time for me to sue for breach of my rights, I'm going to have to sue him? He's already going to be fired, right? Because that's what you do to officers that breach citizens' rights, right? You fire them. Where he can get the money from to pay the cost, the penalty? And what if it's the instance where the man had been punched in his mouth and years later he's now losing teeth in his mouth? If you fire the officer, where's the money going to come from to adequately compensate me? Although this is scary because for a second there, I thought the government was only looking out for itself. Anyway, today we're talking ghost stories and folk tales and spooky stories. But I just wanted to share with you, when you open your eyes to what is happening around you, sometimes you see more than you expect to see. Boy, there's some scary, scary stories in the paper this morning. Anyway, back to Culture Fridays. I want to introduce my guest, Mr. C.A. Newry, local poet, blogger, and amateur historian. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning, Aaron. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. And this is a delightful day to invite me on something cultural. You know, ghosts. We have a long history of ghosts and spirits in the Bahamas. But that story is not told, right? And I appreciate the fact that you took some time out just to share with your Bahamian audience that our history and our story and our culture is rich and it needs to be shared to the world and be celebrated also.
Right. And for me, what inspired it for me is this. It's like we're about to... Yes. It's a little smaller this year than in past years before the pandemic. That's changed the way we celebrate everything. Mm-hmm. But we're big on Halloween.
Yes.
And I see plenty Halloween adverts, right? But it's a very American expression.
We are ontologically American.
Listen. On my passport, it'd say that, you know.
Yes. On the blue one.
Yeah.
Yes.
And not because I have brothers and sisters in American, you know, it's deeper than that. Mm-hmm. They mean me. But when we do Halloween, we do it so American.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, why? Mm-hmm. Like you say, we have such a rich history and culture, of folklore and myth, right? Mm-hmm. And ghost story. In fact, I want to throw out to my audience, please. I know one Nassau, one New Providence-based ghost story.
Yeah.
I don't know the entirety of it. Nobody has ever told it to me from beginning
to end.
Right?
Should be good.
I haven't seen it written down anywhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know where to go online to find it, to read it, to hear somebody recite it.
I would love to hear it. Maybe something I know about.
Well, I think everybody knows about it.
Okay.
This is the story about the dancing trees.
That came alive.
The trees that came alive. Now, don't say came alive, because all trees are alive. And see, that's what I like about
it. Animated?
All trees are animated.
Began to walk from its place.
Now, there you go. See, because my mind goes as walk, but I never seen my mango tree walk. But, right. So this story of trees dancing and walking on Collins Avenue. The story it's in its entirety. So I'm asking people to call in or text in, and I'm asking you, too, if you know this story, mm-hmm. and what other ghost stories you know. Because I know you know plenty ghost stories. Now, I know plenty ghost stories, too, right?
Ghosts, speak to me. To the chair dancing.
The chair and the table was dancing, too.
Yes.
See, I know ghost story. Like, I know this ghost story. Mm-hmm. It is scary.
Yes.
It's called Alstom. They spell it A-L-S-T-O-M. It has something to do with electricity and power outages and energy crisis. It's just scary.
That's a monstrous story.
Yeah, that's a horrible story, but I know them type of ghost story. But tell me, do you know about the Collins Avenue story?
I mean, I was familiar with it, you know. I was familiar with it. My mother told me about it. My stepfather told me about it. So I grew up with the story. I grew up with the story about hearing the idea that they had to call some kind of Haitian voodoo priest to put the spirit back in its place because the chairs, the tables was flying and moving about. The trees get up and walk. It became dark all over Collins Avenue, that the entire population, New Providence population, became frightened as to what they must do. Like, this demon was released and nobody can actually put him back. And that it was so fearful, so frightening, that they had to hire a local Obeah man, right, to do whatever ritual they would Obeah men do, and put this spirit back in this box.
All right, because my mango tree. If you take a mango off my mango tree, right,
without your knowledge,
right, you could get it by a mango. I mean, you could get based by mango.
You can feel a certain spark.
I'm not saying it's Obeah. I'm saying it's nature.
It's possible.
Yeah. Don't mind me and the raccoons. I got a tight security team. But look here, Cecil. I got a caller on the clock. I did ask the people to call in. Yes. Let's get to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
A pleasant good morning, Mrs. Green.
Good morning, Sparky. How you doing?
Now you're talking about the Collins Avenue.
Yes, sir.
I told you where I grew up, right?
Yes,
I grew up between East Avenue and Bandera Street. My mother had two homes. I remember that Friday evening when, for some reason, that was around like my young teenage time, and anything happened was a bunch of excitement. If you heard a car accident on the corner, everybody ran to see what happened. If you heard a siren going down the road, everybody would run from where they live to the end of the corner to see if it was an ambulance or a fire engine. And that night, the word went out that ghost was down on Center Village. Now, this happened at the house just as you came around the curve. You're coming from Wolf Road, and you're coming around the curve by, Columbus Primary. We used to call it Sutton Junior then.
Okay.
Then you come around the curve just at the end of Collins Walls, but where it was opened up right there. It's just a little southwest of Frank Hammer Janitoriums.
Uh-huh.
There's this house on the corner where the cry went out that this lady was inside this house screaming. And what it was saying that inside the house, rocks were coming from the ceiling, but it wasn't coming from outside the house.
Okay, pause 1 second, Sparky. That sounds like a bad contractor. I mean, I could be honest. I know a couple of them by them. Who do that to her?
But the ceilings fall out.
Right. Go on, Sparky.
So what was said to happen is a bunch of us ran down there.
Yeah.
And next thing we know, we heard the fire engine coming down there.
Okay.
You know, the fire engine come from East Street, Sigham Corner there, and then come down Centerville. That's how it moved down.
All right.
And just but the whole area was headed towards this area. And people were all up in the Ponceana trees. So when they say the tree is walking, I don't think no time. I see no tree walking. I know people climb up all in the trees and think to see what's going on.
Okay, okay.
And what was said to have happened was this woman was inside this house screaming that the rocks were falling in her house from the ceiling, but not necessarily from outside. In other words, nobody was outside throwing rocks at the house.
Yeah.
The house, but rocks were falling from the ceiling.
Okay.
So I think the police got involved, and they got the woman out, and they went in there, and I don't know how it ended, but it was said that this was a haunted house.
Okay. Thank you, Spotty.
I think the house is still there.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's ever sold, but I think it's still there.
Okay. Thank you so much, Spotty.
Yeah.
Now, you clear up a lot of things for me just now, because if Bahamian police have to fight ghosts, no wonder they ain't got no time for regular Bahamian humans. Like, I could be honest with you, if I had to go fight ghosts and Bahamians running up, about I have rights. I could be like, boss, I have rights too, but the devil don't care. Woo! Second of all, it sort of makes sense when you say that the amount of people that were there and people had climbed up into the trees, right? That's how many people were there. You could get a sense why people could have said the trees were walking. But I want people to call in and let me know if you have
heard that story.
And if you have heard a variation, or if you have seen a ghost or had a unnerving or spooky encounter that made you think twice about what was happening around you. But I want to quickly read this introduction from An Evening in Guanima, A Treasury of Folktales from the Bahamas by Patricia Glinton McCollis. And I think in the introduction, something Sparky said resonates, right? And Sparky really talked about the time in which that event occurred, right? And the introduction starts like this. In folk stories, magic drums, ghosts, obedient and disobedient children, heroes, tricksters, and birds that assume human form hold sway in a world where poetic justice always brings about a satisfactory ending. This is the patrimony of childhood and the stuff of An Evening in Guanima. This treasury of Bahamian folk tales is a tribute to my birthplace, Cat Island, thought to have been called Guanima by the Lucayans, the first Bahamians. Like so many of the islands of the Bahamas, rural Cat Island is rich in folklore and was once the center of storytelling tradition. My appreciation for the heritage of my people and belief in its uniqueness were formed largely during stays with my grandparents at the teacher's residence in Port Howe. During evening storytelling sessions, I learned many of the traditional songs, rhymes, and tale motifs, which formed the launchpad for my own imaginings. Unfortunately, few people talk old story or even remember one nowadays. Like many people, intensive activities, storytelling has fallen prey to modernization. Electronic and other forms of entertainment are anesthetizing, I didn't pronounce that correctly, the creativity of our oral storytellers and the need which produce them. And so basically, Patricia McCollis Glinton talks about her roots in Cat Island, talks about that the experience of hearing these stories and what your day was like, what your life was like. Telling was a center of your entertainment and activity. Mm-hmm. And that what Sparky said was, hey, back then we had these electronics. Mm-hmm. This was what you did. You hung out and you listened to the stories, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important that maybe we're not seeing these things anymore because we're too busy looking at other things, right? But also, something that Patty McCollis points out is the people ain't talking the old talk no more and the old story. And so it's difficult for my generation to pass down stories that we've never been told, that we've never been given. And I want you all to know it's difficult to pass down stories when you've been made to feel like it ain't really your story. You got to work hard to go find the story. If you really want to know about your culture, then you'll do the painstaking, back-breaking work of pulling it out of us elders, who the stories belong to. And that's creating a problem, because these are our stories too.
Yes.
Just because we wasn't alive to us as much as they belong to you, older generation of Bahamian. And you got an obligation to pass them down to us.
Yes, yes.
And definitely. And I'm glad that Patricia mentioned Kidd Island, because it's a home of stories. But there's also islands like Andros that has their own stories, especially those who have Seminole Indian links. Mm-hmm. Like, I've came across a story where Boleg, Chief Boleg, was actually the Chickchani himself.
Yeah.
He actually turned into this bird and was kidnapping African children. Right, and during sacrifice, in Andros, you hear the spirits like the Yahoo. Few behemoths know that we have Yahoos in the forest, in the pine forest of Andros, and in the pine forest of Abaco. Mm-hmm. Elf-like creatures who kidnap women,
mm-hmm.
kidnap women and have children. You see that in Abaco, you hear stories of the Yahoo white women complaining that they were kidnapped, they were missing for 3, 4, 5 days, kidnapped by the Yahoo, and the Yahoo was a hairy creature. MILF, mm-hmm. right? And they come back with a black hairy baby.
Yeah.
And they blame the Yahoo for that.
Yeah.
Right? And so we know that this is a part of us. What is a Yahoo? What is a Chickchani? Who was this Chickchani? Why did he target certain people, right? And not including the or leaving out the ghosts of Kidd Island.
Mm-hmm.
And the Obeah ritual and history from there. All of this is part of being Bohemiana and needs to be told to the next generation.
I mean, absolutely. And we shouldn't have to beg for it. And when we have to beg for it, don't make us feel like we're not worthy of it. This is who we are.
Yes.
This is how we find out who we are. And so, Cecil, I got two old stories. I'm talking about from the 1800s.
Nice.
Right? Doing a little research. But I see I got this caller. I had this caller flashing here. Let's go to this caller for a second. Caller, you're on the clock.
Thank God you see it flash. How you doing?
Good morning. How you do?
I'm doing fine. Good morning. I heard my BPL. My power's off. Thank God I get it back on. But who would you guess?
My guess is Mr. C.A. Newry.
Newry, okay. Eric, do what you do. Hats off to BPL. They said he's going to cut on to half an hour.
Uh-huh.
And they kept their promise.
What? Big up.
Yeah, dig them up, man. Dig them up. They're my boys and girls today.
Yeah, man.
You know, you're talking about planting trees, eh?
No, he's talking about...
The
other day. But we're talking about ghost story, man.
Yeah, okay, we finish that tomorrow next week. But then let's talk about ghost story.
Yeah.
You know, I was born in a court. And they say people who born in a court is see ghosts. Now, I don't know the gentleman ever hear that.
Yes, we became a seer. That the umbilical cord is wrapped around the baby's throat upon birth. And that because they're between life and death, that the spiritual realm, and that they're able to be able to see into that spiritual world.
But that's me, because Aaron, I don't know if you've been on my Facebook. I'm not ashamed to say it. They call it deformity.
Yeah.
I had a deformity, but God put it so right. I almost became paralyzed, but I was not paralyzed. I almost used oxygen to the brain.
I got you. Yeah.
I was turning foot on.
Uh-huh.
But I come from the foot, you know, you normally come from the head, right?
Yeah.
I would have dared, so the doctor told my mom to stop pushing because there's a problem. And they was able to get me to come from the head on. But what they should have done is cut. The other doctor told me they should have cut my mom.
Do a C-section, eh?
Because my knee almost...
You want to be like Macduff from Macbeth, eh?
Pardon me?
I said, you want to be like Macduff from Macbeth.
But my niece almost became like that. They cut my sister.
Cesarean section. Thank you.
But what I'm saying is that is true. Cause
the story on Collins Avenue.
You're
telling me that you have a
gift.
A gift.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm not afraid. I see shadows, but not afraid of them because, they are spirits. But, you know, I could tell. I guess you just could tell certain things.
I got you.
Yeah, probably talk more about that, but other people want to call in. But it is the truth.
Yeah, thank you.
It is the truth.
Thank you very much.
It's a gift, and I appreciate that gift, though.
Yeah.
And I'm happy you're doing a show on this because... This was interesting. It should have been done a long time ago.
Well, I mean, Halloween coming and we get plenty time.
Yeah, you got the Michael Jackson song.
But listen, I got a... No, I'm playing.
No, I remember that voice come up.
But listen, I remember watching that video with my daddy, and I was so scared, but my daddy was there, so it's okay.
Yeah, that's why we like our daddies. You know, Michael Jackson's my boy. Yeah. I love him. God, that's the greatest.
But I'm playing no Michael Jackson today, man. Let me go. I'm going to tell you one story about the girl and the fish.
Tell me that story.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. So this is a story from the 1800s, and this is taken from a collection of stories. This one, I think this one from Spanish Wales. Like and it goes like this. This day, this girl went down to the sea for salt water. She catch one little fish about the conch shell. She catch one little fish out the conch shell. She name him Concho Wally. She put him in the well. Every morning, she used to put some of her breakfast in the bucket and carry to the fish, and some of the dinner, and some of supper. She feed him till he get a big fish. This morning, when she made breakfast for him, she sung, Conco, Conco Wally, don't you want to marry me? My daddy short tall. He come up and she feed him. Then she let him go down. When she went home, the boy say, Pa, sis got something inside the well. Then the next day she come, bring victuals again for him. The man say to the boy, you going behind the tree and listen to what she going to sing. The gal sing, Conco, Conco Wally, don't you want to marry me? My daddy, short tail. Huh? The boy catch it. He gone tell he pa. The boy say, pa, sister say, Conco, Conco Wally, etc. The man go, he took he grinch and he sing, Conco, Conky Wally. The fish come up and he strike him. He carry him home and they had him for dinner. The gal say, I bet you this nice fish. Then the gal took some in the bucket to carry to the fish. Then when the gal went to the well to catch the fish, she sing, Conco, Conco, Wally. She sing again, Conco, Conco, Wally. She ain't hear no fish, and she ain't see none. She sing again, Conco, Conco, Wally. She begin to cry now, Conco, Conco, Wally. Then when she went home to the house, behind the house, and she cried herself to death.
To death?
Yeah. This is a story about the girl and the fish, right? And in another iteration, another retelling of the story, the fish actually says to the girl, like, if your family eat me, you'll get a sign that it's them who kill me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the story, she gets the sign, and then she melts into the ground and disappears, right?
And this is a Spanish Wells story.
Well, accent, when it's a hout, for out, right? And when she went to the well, that sound like my Northy Lutra people. That sound like my Northy Lutra people. Anyway, this...
And plus they have a fish culture.
Right. I mean, and this story is by Charles Edwards. Well, this story, I think, was collected by Charles Edwards, and it can be found in a collection called Bahama Songs and Stories from 18. So the book was published in 1895, and these stories were collected from before 1895.
Mm.
And the girl had a relation, the fish and the girl had a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And when that bond was broken, she cried herself to death.
And interesting, you had mentioned this. In the 1800s, early 1900s, the Bahamas was ranked the Caribbean, the West Indian country, with the most folklore stories and traditions, right? But something happened to that. We were so beyond the rest of the Caribbean that people came to the Bahamas to study us, to record our stories, to record our songs, right?
Yeah.
And now we don't know any of the songs. And now we have to depend on external persons who recorded them to say, well, these are Bahamian stories, and because we lost our narrative and lost part of ourselves.
In fact, in the research I was doing this week, I find this Smithsonian, in fact, I downloaded it, 235 pages of a culture conference, you call it.
Yes.
And it has a section on the Caribbean. The Bahamas has its own section.
Yes.
And then there's the rest of the Caribbean.
Rest of the Caribbean. That's how significant we are. Yeah. We are significant enough to that we have stories beyond everyone else.
Right. But you wouldn't know that now if you look at our popular culture.
No.
Anyway, let's get to this call. And then Kermit, let's get to we can get back to this playlist. Caller, you're on the clock. You're not there. I am so sorry. Kermit, let's play Charlie Grayley, the Chickshawnee, the intro. I got a story to tell y'all. Mm-hmm. When he played this intro, I sure I see a Chickshawnee. I can't say I get chased by a Chickshawnee because I didn't wait around long enough to mm-hmm. find out mm-hmm. if he's chasing me. I did just take off.
Beware if you stray into the forest of Andros, as a magic bird lives where two trees cross. With a sharp claw, so it is said, show no respect, it will turn your head. Come with bright colors on bended knee, you will get magic luck from the Chickshawnee.
Listen, so this is the intro to a short film
nice.
Called The Chickshawnee that I found on YouTube by Charlie Grayley. It is very short and mm-hmm. impactful, powerful. So I was in Mangrove Key teaching Vacation Bible School.
Okay.
And the boys were sleeping in one house and the girls were sleeping in another house because it's good Anglican people.
Yes.
I mean, and sensible Anglican people.
Decent.
And sensible.
Yes.
Right? But I had to walk home from the boys' house because that's where the video player and the TV was.
Okay.
Right? And I was the last girl to leave. And I walk them between them settlements in the dark.
And
I. I got to the point in the middle of the streetlights mm-hmm. where there's nothing but darkness. And I hear a crack in the bush on my left. Mm. And I turn my head. Mm-hmm. And I see two big, big red eyes looking at me. And I took off. In fact, I want to say good morning to Pauline Davis. I told her me and her going to race. And she don't know what the impetus is. Mm. I can remember when that Chickshawnee see me in the bush.
Bush crack, woman gone.
Gone. Mm. Take off. And from then I know the Chickshawnee was real.
Yes. Yes, and we have numerous stories of Chickshawnee, right? Chamberlain, the Prime Minister of England,
yeah.
was hunted by a Chickshawnee doing work in Andros, and he came across a Chickshawnee's lair, and he chopped down a tree.
Yeah, well, see, but that's it right there.
You know? And they haunted him. And in fact, if you look in the English records, they have records of the Chickshawnee haunting the Prime Minister of England. So
we put in good work. We do good work.
But let me mention this. Yeah. In the early 90s, there were two boys that were kidnapped by the Chickshawnee. Went missing for a month, two, 3 months, right? In the Andros pine.
Forest, yeah.
Yes. And they said that they were kept fed by angels and this creature kept them alive inside his hole for 3 months that nobody could have found them, right? And out of the blue, they came out of the clearing and did not remember how they got there. That's Chickshawnee magic.
That's absolutely Chickshawnee magic. And I can say to those young boys...
They should be adults now. But
yeah.
No one still understand nor appreciate what happened to them for 3 months.
It's a documentary. We can do this. Anyway, see, I got a caller on the line. Call you on the clock.
Aaron and yes.
Good morning.
Listen, I need you to regurgitate that farmer name and his number for me, please. If you're on a couple of days ago, please, if you can.
Okay, I will do before the end of the show.
Okay.
All right. After the break, I'll come back. I'll have the information. Thank you. Boy, listen. So, Kermit, I think we got a break coming up soon. I wanted to also, it's Culture Friday, I wanted to play some song too, right? Mm-hmm. I got a couple of songs that I found about ghosts, spooky stories, right?
You ever got hag, Aaron?
I get hag all the time, but I don't know if it's a ghost. You're telling me it could have been a ghost.
It more likely is a ghost, you know, because I know but stories of being hagged and could not move as the ghost hold me down.
Oh,
me
in
down.
Your sleep, what they call it, sleep paralysis.
I was up. I could see myself. It held me down and had its way with me.
Yeah, I used to think my cousins is just tickling me in my sleep,
oh,
right? That's
yeah.
what I used to think that was. But thank you for introducing me to a new concept. So here are some of the songs that I found that have some, that reference ghosts or old bear, right? Mm-hmm. Or reference spooky things. So I found Ghosts in the Well by KB, mm-hmm. right? Which I thought was an interesting song.
Yes.
But I didn't find very many. And again, this is a part of the fascinating part of the discussion, right? Like how, when we say things are important to us, can we prove that? Because mm-hmm. I don't see proof through our culture and our music of the things that we say are important to us, right? And so I didn't find many songs in my cursory search online for Bahamian music about ghosts, about ghost stories, about spooky myths and legends and I couldn't find a song about the Chickshawnee. Mm-hmm. online. And I found a song about the Gollin. Mm-hmm. That's a popular one by D-Mac. Kermit, you could play a lick of that for me when you pull it up. We all know that one, right?
Yes.
Ghost in the Well, that's a bit of an older generation. I knew it because I know the song. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize what the lyrics were really about.
Annie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the ghost in the well. I thought the song was about the ghost in the well.
Yes. The good story is about the lady and her heartache with her husband and getting haunted.
Well,
go ahead.
Boy.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And then Eddie Minnett's UFO.
That was good. But that's about smoking, though. that's about weed smoking.
No, that's about things you see in the sky.
Ezekiel and his wheel.
See, but okay, this is what we're talking about now. Because perhaps what it's saying to us is that maybe we have had sort of a rich history of talking about these things that we see.
I'll explain.
But we this culture of diminishing people and shutting them down by just saying, oh, that's weird, you must be using drugs.
Yes.
But we live in the Bermuda Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
When you go outside of the Bahamas, you see all of this documentation and documentaries and stories and information about UFO sightings and weird sightings in the airspace around these islands. But you get a song with a Bahamian saying they see something, and oh, they must be a dope smoker.
Yes, yes.
You know, they must be smoking that good Saracen.
Yes.
It's just madness.
That Magellanum.
But you see what you said. What'd you say? Ezekiel's wheel, right?
Ezekiel's wheel.
And where'd that come from?
They have the Bible.
There you go. I mean, I know people is in the Bible smoking things.
Yeah, they do. Clearly they're smoking things.
Because that burning bush.
Yes, yes.
Was burning.
Yeah, and talking. The bush didn't burn, it talked.
I mean, no, it burned and it talked.
Yes, and donkeys to speak. Yeah, but I digress. Go ahead.
And so I don't understand why we as Bahamians have to go outside of our own culture to to celebrate Halloween. Like, why? We could do that in our own way.
Yes.
And make it uniquely Bahamian.
Yes.
Or uniquely what it is. Kermit, sorry, but I talk all the way through the intro of the song.
Hi! Yeah! Time to scull it! Y'all ready for that? Here we go. Say she promised she gonna marry me.
Oh, yeah.
But she ran away. She promised she'd be faithful to me.
Oh, yeah.
But she scheme on me. Say she take all my money.
Oh, yeah.
She take my car.
Oh, yeah.
My virginity.
Oh, yeah.
Is with her now.
Oh, yeah.
Not going crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Can't even sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Can't even eat.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to. Should've listened to mommy.
Oh yeah,
man, this girl has the heart to take my ring.
Oh yeah,
I nearly married the golden.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock the top 4-2. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell below. Knock it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.C., 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 J.S. Johnson.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Aha! Da-da-da-ding-ding-ding-ding-day. Da-da-da-da-ding-ding-ding-ding-day. Here is a story that's also true. Just sit right back and I tell it to you. What my grandpa used to tell to me when I was nothing more than the age of 3. Auntie B, she used to roast the corn. Everyone else, they would gather around to hear the stories that he would tell about the ghost who used to cry out from the well. Aha!
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It is Friday the 29th of October. We are a couple of days from Halloween. You're on the clock with Erin Green and it is Culture Friday. So I'm just saying to my good friend C.A. Newry, we got to ask this question, right? How much of these stories are really ghost stories versus cautionary tale, right? Versus a message in a message in a story. Because that's what I was thinking, especially when I hear the Garland song. Mm-hmm. But I get it complicated a little, right? Because the Garland song is warning men about these bad women. Mm. We like to call them junglers. We like to call them users. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Daryl Hall and Oates call them man-eaters, right? Mm. Like, right, protect yourself from these bad women. But I have a feeling that the Garland story is a perversion, the telling of it now as a cautionary tale is the perversion of a cautionary tale. I think the Garland story originally is a tale to men to be careful how you treat mm-hmm. this woman you marry. Mm-hmm. Because if you treat her wrong, she could become your worst nightmare.
And swallow you up.
Right, voices the idea to look out for some of these women because some of these women are just, what's the word you use? Succubi.
Succubi.
Yeah, they just waiting to take advantage of you and take your things and take your heart and mm-hmm. take your money. Mm-hmm. But the Chicchani, I think, is a cautionary tale, mm-hmm. possibly, as well as a real thing. And what I learned is in Long Island, they don't have the Chicchani. In Long Island, they have the jack-o'-lantern.
Okay, that's very American, eh?
Well, and they have
a loyalist culture.
Right. And we got pumpkin. Pumpkin is indigenous to this place, right?
Yes.
You come in that you make a jack-o'-lantern with a pumpkin. Mm-hmm. But the story is that if you go out at night or when you're not supposed to, you have to be very careful because the jack-o'-lantern is out there trying to trick you. And when you follow in a light, mm-hmm. the jack-o'-lantern tricks you to follow daylight. And if you follow the jack-o'-lantern, a story was told to me is you're going to end up in Haiti mm-hmm. upside down with your head turned around
in the
mountains, right?
Yeah.
And then when they said that, I realized from the break, that's just a cautionary mm-hmm. tale to keep the slave churning.
From running and
right.
escaping, yes.
And it's the same thing, like when I tell people that it wasn't until the 1950s that the last Caribbean country removed the law that you could shoot a person with dreadlocks on sight.
Wow.
I imagine that every African pair beat a pair of locks into their children.
Yes.
Right? That whatever it takes to get you to stop wearing locks, mm-hmm. you know, and you tell stories to the children to convince them that they should not do this thing, you know.
Yeah. I want to mention that in 1950, as part of our tourism element that we sell, we had persons who sold ghosts.
Listen, you know, I don't want you to talk about my family like that.
The ghost itself.
We sell Chicchanis to tourists.
Yes.
We
in the Bahamas, we sold ghosts to tourists, and these ghosts would go home with you and haunt whoever you want to haunt. Get that one. And the Bohemian ghost used to haunt.
Yeah.
But this is true, documented in newspapers that we sold ghosts.
Yeah, and I mean, and good, you know, friendly, nice, polite ghosts. Go haunt them in. Go pinch them a little bit.
Well, pinch them. They pinch your hand. Or they just leave a mark.
And take teeth, they sort of.
Yeah.
But listen, I got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yes, Ms. Green and C.A. Newry.
Hey.
Famous on Nigel Black Show.
Yes.
Yeah.
When y'all start doing your thing. Yeah. I heard Sparky on a couple minutes ago, but guess what?
Mm-hmm.
I was already in the police force. I think that happened in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken, on Collins Avenue.
Okay.
But I understand, Sparky said the rocks, the stones or rocks was coming on in the house, but then I understand the fridge started walking. The fridge say I ain't cooling the stuff no more. And the stove say, I ain't cooking no
Look
food
here,
no more.
BEC run my fridge so hot one time, it almost walked straight to my neighbor pool.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, Ms. Green, the fridge,
yeah.
The fridge started moving and talking, and the stove say, I ain't cooking no more. But guess what? That Haitian voodooist who came, he did not do the job.
Okay.
They had to call, see, I think there was some, the people, their name was Campbell's, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And what happened is, Miss Grant.
Yes, sir. Hey, right here.
Yeah. What happened? The Haitian voodoo, they called him, and he didn't do the job. So they had a call. And, you know, I always, my foreparents, grandparents, and everybody on the island, you always say, they have to call the Cockney priest to do the job. The Cockney priest, the right word, I think, they excavate that spirit out of the house.
Exercise it out.
Right. Actually, awesome. Yeah, that's the right word. Yeah.
Okay.
The other people, the Haitian probably bring more voodoo there. They had to call the Cockney priest.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah, ma'am.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that.
People are familiar with this story.
Yes.
It's a part of who we are, that something strange happened on Collins Avenue.
Yeah.
And it impacted the entire generation, and even to a modern generation that has been passed on again and again, that something happened to the coconut trees and rock slide.
And how important it is for us to have collective experiences, mm-hmm. right, and to pass them down. I see you got another caller. Caller, you're on the clock. And then I want to tell you all about my experience.
Hello.
Good morning, in Kemp's Bay.
Hey, Green.
How you doing?
Let me see if I could quickly polish the end of that story for Faki and Ahmad.
Okay.
What happened? They called the Catholic priest. There was a couple of them. They called Father Warren Roll and them.
Okay.
But what happened? The Catholic priest got run out of there. They said they had to bring in an African a witch doctor in order to settle that.
Okay.
And how we confirm it, I used to go to St. John's College. And when Father Warren Roll came to teach religious study that week,
uh-huh.
He asked him, he said, but Father Roll, ain't nothing was really in there. And Father Roll said, and I quote, he said, Johnson, class, I don't know what it was. He said, but something was in there. And you could go ask Father Warren Roll that today by saying, I just checked. I just want to polish the end of that.
Thank you so much. Thank you, sir. We have one more caller, Cecil, and then I play a couple of these Exuma songs. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning. You still there? I'm sorry we missed you, caller. I am so sorry. Ah, boy. Thank you. Thank you, callers. Thank you for calling in and sharing
But
that.
You see how the names are now connecting. We actually have in testimonials
right.
on the same story. Something happened on Collins Avenue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let me tell you all this why. Like one person have an idea. They hold it. They don't mean anything. A group of people have an idea, and now you have an industry.
Yes,
you know, you have the space. It's so important to share these stories
mm-hmm.
and to document them. And listen, if you are related to, connected to, affiliated with an elder in our community that is holding these stories, please go and beg them. Even if I don't want to say go get them drunk, because that's just illegal. Mm-hmm. You can't say that, but entice them. Pay them,
mm-hmm.
take care of them, rub their feet, whatever it takes to get these stories out of them, because these stories are the literal fabric of our lives mm-hmm. and our country. We getting out just at the end. I see I got a caller. Kermit, let's take this caller quickly, and then I want to know if you have a personal ghost story, Cecil.
Yeah,
caller, you're on the clock. You got 30 seconds. Good morning, caller.
Morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Everything's all right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, listen, I just want to somehow give a perspective on the era
okay.
and time when that happened.
Okay.
Okay. First, I, right on that lamp pole, right by the wall itself, I used to have to wait there after school when the incident happened.
Uh-huh.
I had to wait there for my aunt to pick me up, to take me to the Tribune office where we sold newspapers. I was one of the noted Rose Boys. We used to sell newspapers from the Tribune office. So I had to wait right there. But notwithstanding all that is said, I just thought it appropriate to highlight something of that era growing up.
Okay.
I was about 8, probably no more than 9. That was a good time. Are you there, Ms. Green?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Okay. That story came out, and that was part and parcel of my growing up experience, because right there, I was right there,
uh-huh.
right? In that, it made us laugh so much when we repeated the stories, and then, you know, someone would come in with their exaggeration, and
mm-hmm.
we would laugh, and our stomach muscle would be bussing, you know?
Yeah.
There was a fellow, we grew up in Coconut Grove and Yalowella, group of us, TD Boy, Michael, Mickey, and all of the crew. I mean, we would laugh, and we had an ongoing story for like 2 months at least.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It was just a talk at a town. It was just 2 months at least. Just stories added on and added on. And I just said, I remember vividly. Rather than made us afraid as youngsters, it made us happy. It was the excitement of the town.
Mm-hmm. And it's a shared experience.
Yeah, I cannot emphasize you how much that electrified NASA. And listen, a token point to consider. In that story came and occupied our minds, distracted from probably other mischiefs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
Instead of being fighting each other, we were more intense on hearing each other's side of the story.
And preparing to fight ghosts and just in case.
Yeah, you know, it was fantastic. I remember that I was going to that school right across, I think it was William Gordon. William Gordon.
Okay.
Wear the red shirt and white stripes and brown pants.
Okay.
You know? But I just wanted to put a perspective.
Yes, thank you.
On the time. It was a real good time.
Yes.
Growing up in that area and thereabouts. So
thank you so
God
much.
God bless.
All absolutely. Right. Now listen, I'm gonna beg my producer. You got 30 seconds. Good morning, you're on the clock.
Aaron?
Yes, ma'am. You got 30 seconds.
Maybe it wasn't as talking for school because I think an African president was here visiting the Bahamas, so it might have been an attraction.
Ah, okay.
At that time.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
All right. Last caller, you got 30 seconds. Caller, you are on the clock, 30 seconds.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, good, thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. The gentleman that just hung up from you?
Yes.
His story is profound.
Yes.
Okay. He was 9 years old and I was 13 years old. I grew up in Coconut Grove.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and then everything he said just now is true. Okay, it was electrifying.
Yeah.
It spread like wildfire. And it was much laughter for us. Like he say, the mischief that we used to get into, we just stood around and just talked about that. And we all began to laugh. It was a good laughter.
Yeah.
You know, and it actually brought some sort of solemn peace to the community. You know,
yes.
But shortly afterwards, when we went to church and we were told of the evil that how it comes unto you, and so I did a good sermon.
Yes, sir.
And I gave my soul to Christ and became baptized, and now I see it from a different perspective.
Blessings.
But thanks for letting me share it.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing, and thank you to all of the callers today. Thank you for sharing, because these are stories that I cannot tell. And these are stories that we require you to share with us to continue growing the fabric of this country. This is the root of our culture, people. What we feel is valuable enough to share with each other. And trust me, the little children need it.
Yes.
We need it. I mean, as little children, in terms of chocolates and in terms of this history, we need you to share these things with us. But we shouldn't have to beg you. We shouldn't have to beg you and get on our knees and pray that you find us worthy of these things. These stories are as much ours as they are yours. And we will respect our proximity or our distance from them in the same way you respect our need to be connected to them and to you, older generations of Bahamians. And so on that note, I want to say to the 3 Score and 10 gang, be good this weekend. Find your grandchildren and give out plenty, plenty candies and chocolates and stories for Halloween.
And stories.
Thank you so much, C.A. Nuri, for joining me. I got to bring you back in because obviously I got to make a series of it.
Yes.
Thank you to the audience for calling in, for tuning in. I'm sorry, Carl, I got to go. But make sure you stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM because Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.
Need all a mix with Gamalami tea.
UFO.
Why he smoke such a mixture?
UFO.
Ain't nobody know.
UFO.
It's so strong it's shooting through the sky.
Like a UFO.
The Johnson Chancellor. Down the list of dangerous drugs. Marijuana, LSD. No Bejarina or Sarah C.